Well, you know, we started a few minutes late, but we're getting started on the message right on time, and I was all excited about preaching long. But we're going to make sure we get you guys out of here in plenty of time to get home for the black eyed peas and the smoked meat and all that great stuff that I'm having at home. But I'm not sure we have enough for everyone. All over the sanctuary in printed or digital format. If you have the Word of God, please hold it up above your head. Please hold it. Amen. Today we have please turn the Word of God to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Before we go with our New Year's Day message today, which is called Foundations, we want to have good foundations for the year. Amen?
Amen.
And our foundation is found in who? None other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I shared with the prayer team. I shared with our praise team that Pastor Carol and I have been in deep prayer. We are actively engaged in finding our new location. We're looking all over. And so this coming year, we're probably going to spend most of our time in the book of Joshua. Joshua is an amazing book. It's a book of victory. It's a book of taking what God has already given you. Now, this is not a name it and claim it theology we're going to be talking about, but it is all about the promises that God has kept. And I'm going to go a little off script here for just a moment. If Miss Sunita, if you could bring up slide number 86, if you don't mind. Slide number 86. This year, we're going to live by this standard. The battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
Amen? The battle is the Lord's. Are you looking for victory in your life? The battle is the Lord's. Are you looking for victory in your financial aspects of your life? The battle is the Lord's. Are we looking for a new location?
Amen.
Whose battle is it? The battle is the Lord's. And our primary verse for this year is going to be Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Mark it down. I want everybody to memorize this. For God says, "For have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Amen.
Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
When I get up in the morning, God. When I go to bed at night, the Lord. The Lord is with us wherever we go. And whatever trials we face, whatever tribulations we may go through, whose battle is it, friends? The battle is the Lord's. Amen. Now, with that out of the way, and I'm all set to preach now, I feel like the power of the Lord is with us. Amen?
Amen?
So reading from the Word of God in today's message on the foundations that we should have in our life, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. If you are there in your Bible, please say amen.
Amen.
Now, bear in mind, we're going to have some of the passages on the screen, but you should always have your Bible open and in your lap and following along. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, reading from the Word of God. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called," notice it says "the called," "according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined." Don't freak out on me right there. "To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. We're going to be looking this morning at some foundational truths for this coming year. There are five truths that we want to look at and the things that we set the foundations of our life upon. Amen? So, we have 5 points. The first point today in our message on foundations is we are going to look at the supreme wisdom of God. The supreme wisdom of God. Listen, the Lord says what? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and My ways are not your ways." See, the Lord thinks differently than we all do. And it says in verse 29 there, it says, "For whom He foreknew." God's wisdom is unlike man's wisdom. Amen? God is not a man. God is God. Not only is God greater than anything, not only is God greater than everything, God is greater than all things. And if you are having problems in your life, perhaps you may have a God that's too small. Amen? And if you're not having troubles in your life, And I want to say that to our Christians that are sitting here in the sanctuary this morning, or those of you that are watching on the internet or watching a DVD, and you're thinking, you know, I really don't need the Lord. I don't have any trials and tribulations in my life. As a matter of fact, I haven't felt any attack, or I haven't felt any collisions with Satan at all. Well, friends, sometimes it's hard to have a collision when you're traveling in the same direction. You see, when you go to serve the Lord is when the collisions come. When you go to serve the Lord is when the contact comes from the evil one. Amen? You want to get Satan's attention? Just cry out in Jesus' name in public. You want to get Satan's attention? You just call upon the name of the Lord. And you know what? When you do that, you don't have to worry about those collisions. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah. Great things He has done. Therefore, God's wisdom is supreme. You know, we have wisdom after the fact. Oh, he's a wise man. That Pastor Larry, he has some great wisdom in these things. That's because Pastor Larry has done everything wrong at least once. And that's how you accumulate wisdom. You either did it wrong, or you watch someone close to you get it wrong. Amen? How many of us have been doing church for a while in our lives? How many of us have seen them get it wrong sometimes? The rest of you fibbers, you know, we'll talk to you later. You can see people do things wrong because they're not doing it in the Lord. They're not doing it of the Lord. They're not doing it from the Lord and from the Lord's Word. You know, God's wisdom is supreme. And our wisdom is after the fact, but God knows things before the fact. He foreknows all things. If you look at the screen, Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The Lord does what He wills. The Lord knows all things. When does He know it? He declares the end from the beginning. You see, I need for you to grasp this concept. Time, we exist in time, is a succession of moments. And time was created for us. God doesn't need that. God sees the end from the beginning. He sees the start, He sees the end, He sees the middle. What do I mean? Let's think about this for just a second. Think of life as a parade. How are some of your parades going, by the way? Could be a little better? And the rest of you fibbers say amen. Let's say you go to a parade and you watch the parade from ground level with the crowd. And you got the distractions all around you. But as the floats and the things come by, what do you see? You see them come by one after another. You see them coming past. But suppose you go up on a tall building and you look down at that parade. Well, you'll see the first float, you'll see the last float, and you'll see all the floats in the between. That's the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Psalm says He did it with His fingertips when He created the heavens. His fingertips. Creating the creation was no big deal for God. Fingertips. That means the glory of the Lord is seen in the heavens. The heavens are finger painting for the Lord. He trails His fingers and the cosmos are created. Therefore, as God sees all of creation in His fingertips, don't you think He can see all things from the end to the beginning? Isn't that amazing? Think about it this way. I've said this before as well. The Lord can take your prayer to Him, reflect on it a billion years, and then yesterday do it again. Now that'll just mess you up, won't it? That'll just flat mess you up. God sees it all. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. Because we have a different vantage point than what God has. Now, as humans, we live in history. Amen? We see events as they come to pass one at a time. But God dwells in eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He knows everything. He sees the beginning, the end. He sees everything in between, all at the same time. That is an amazing concept. So, don't you think that if someone knows everything about everything, we should trust God's supreme wisdom? Please say amen. Our second point today, We see to have proper foundations that we should be in line with the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God. Let's continue in Romans 8:29. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine." That is, God has foreknown, He has predestined certain things to happen. And boy, do some theologians, boy, do some denominations, boy, do some preachers get this whole idea of predestination and the elect wrong. So what is predestination? Predestination is the effective exercise of the will of God by which things before determined by Him are brought to pass. Yeah, I know. I saw it get real solid in here. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm going to say it one more time. I'll say it slowly. And then we're going to come back and talk about this. Predestination, theologically speaking, is the effective exercise of the will of God. In other words, putting it in place. By which things before determined by Him, He's determined that they'll come to pass, are brought to pass. God says, "I am determined to do something. It is my determined will to do this. It is my determined will that Miss Latima will be back in the children's ministry for 12 years. And then the pastor, amen, give her a round of applause there. That deserves some applause. And then the pastor will show some grace and mercy and say, you know, from this time forward, we're going to have the students and the children in the sanctuary on the first Sunday of every month so we can be together as a whole church. The children can get used to being in big church. We can be here for the Lord's Supper. We can do all these things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching today, guys. I really do. So, when God says, "I'm determined to do something," then He does it. That's called predestination. And when God omnipotently determines or predestines something to happen, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Not the angels in heaven. Not the demons in hell. Not Satan going about like a roaring lion. Not a preacher or a pastor with his own agenda. Nothing can stop God's determined will. There are so many pastors that have young men and young men sitting in their church that are feeling the call of God in their lives to preach, and they never get an opportunity because the pastor just takes over the pulpit and never trains men, never gives them an opportunity. I had a meeting with Brother Divine and Brother Ivan this past week, and they have felt the call from the Lord on their life. And we're going to be having a ceremony, just like we did last year with the Anglo and the Hispanic churches together in probably 5 weeks or so, maybe 6 weeks, and we're going to license these men to the gospel. Amen? And I've told them, I said, "Listen, you're going to fill in for Pastor Larry while I'm sitting right there. And you're going to preach on Wednesdays. And guys, we want you to support these men and come out and listen to them preach on Wednesday." Guys, I don't have all the answer. God speaks through His people. And these men are part of His people. Amen?
Amen.
And I've also told them, "Listen, and if you get the opportunity where you know a church where the pastor desperately needs a vacation, or he just needs some time off, or he's going to be away, and they're asking you to preach, do it. But let us know, because Living Hope Church is going to send you out with prayer."
Amen.
We're going to send you out to preach the Word of God, and we're going to celebrate it. Amen, church?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. Nothing can stop God's predetermined, predestined will. Now listen to me very closely. Predestination does not mean that some are predestined for hell and others are predestined for hell, heaven. Not predestined to go in one place by God. The Bible clearly teaches that any man that wants to be saved, that any woman that wants to be saved, that any child that wants to be saved can be saved. There is nothing that is more damning, there is nothing that is more debilitating to evangelism than the very idea that some are going to be saved regardless, and that some are going to be lost regardless, and that there's nothing anyone can do about it. That is not what God's Word says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it should be up on the screen. Mark it in your Bibles. 1 Timothy... Am I there? Yes, I'm there. Remember last week I read the wrong passage. We're trying for that not to happen again. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, starting at verse 3. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants who?
All
men to be saved. He wants all of them. Now look at verses 5 and 6 as we continue. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He is not a ransom for some. He's a ransom for all. Now look up here, look at the screen at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering toward us. Boy, how glad are you that God is long-suffering? Have you ever had those days where you get to the end of the day and you think back on that day and you say, Lord, I thank you for being long-suffering with me today. He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that who? Any should be lost. That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's predetermined will that all should have a chance to be saved. I cannot stress this enough. God does not want anybody to go to hell. And you shouldn't either. You look at it, listen guys, there is no one beyond the redemptive power of God. Amen? God can save anyone except the fallen angels and Satan. Those numbskulls were in heaven and said no. They're lost forever. So don't pray for Satan. Don't pray for repentance from the demons. They are what they are. They are the enemies of God. But what are you? You are what? The friend of God. And so therefore you pray for people. You pray that they would, of their own free will, choose the Lord Jesus Christ. If people are not saved, it is because they choose not to be saved. Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. Flip over to Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Sometimes I say it more than once for me. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Now, this is the prayer where Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, but listen closely. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often, listen to this, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You were not willing. Jesus is saying here, turn back over to Romans, please. Jesus is saying here, I would have saved you. I would have forgiven you. I would have gathered you together. I wanted to redeem you, but you said no. It's not because of me that you are lost. It's because you refused. The ones that refuse Christ is not because Christ is stopping them. God's people should pray for people to be redeemed of God. So my friends, the Bible teaches both the sovereign will of God and the free will of man. Amen? Some say, well, how can God be sovereign if man has a free will? Because the sovereign God has ordained that man shall have a free will. You are ordained to be a knucklehead if you choose to be a knucklehead. And my wife says, God has ordained that. You can do that. But listen, people then ask, well, what's all this stuff about predestination then? The elect of God. Well, look back in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 once again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image. That means that God only has one Son, and God is redeeming mankind so that man can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants in your life. For you to be conformed into the image of his Son. Listen, if you are saved, you are predestined by God, once you choose Christ of your own free will, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Isn't that exciting? How big of a vision does God have for you other than to say, I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son? And listen, if you're saved, you are predestined to be like Jesus Christ and hell can't stop it. Therefore, our job is still to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that we see. Well, Pastor Larry, how do I know that they didn't hear the gospel already? You don't. Share Christ anyway. Share Christ anyway. You don't know if they've heard it before. Well, they're going to refuse. That's not our job to save them, amen? It's our job to say, to share. Quickly, because I mentioned free will of men, let me be thoroughly clear here. I just want to say this clearly. With scriptural backup, get ready to write some things down in your margins. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot throw your salvation away. Here's why. Just ask yourself some simple questions. I only have five examples here. I could go on for probably a few hours. For someone to lose or throw away their salvation, what would have to happen? What would have to happen for that to take place? Well, first, John 3:3, Jesus says, you must be what? Born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, that means you need to be regenerated. You would have to be unborn again for you to throw away your salvation. Second, in John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus says, I am in you. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. In other words, Jesus Christ would have to unindwell you. When you are saved, Christ comes and takes up residence, and you're saying, get out. Can anyone tell Christ where to go? What does Christ say? You go. Listen to me. This is so critically, critically, critically important. Before Christ comes into our lives, we are dead. Amen? Our spirit and our soul is dead. Christ is the life. And when He comes into our spirit is revived, it's rejuvenated. We are alive. Our spirits are alive. We get new spirits. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
So we have new spirits in our lives. Okay? In other words, we are infected with death. Christ is infected with life. And when Christ touches your heart, He doesn't get what you have. You get what He has. You get infected with life. And so therefore, Christ is in you and He's not going to unindwell you. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting. What is everlasting? Eternal. Have everlasting life. God would have to uneternally save a person. Fourth, God would have be unable to keep them. Remember I preached a series out of the book of Jude, verse 24-25, where it says, God is able to keep you. God is able to keep you. Picture it this way. Now I know that's never happened to none of these fine children here in this sanctuary. Have you ever gone to the mall and the kid pitches a hissy fit and he goes into the limp arm, screaming, dragging down the mall routine? Amen? Now, people handle this differently. With us, my wife, I like to call her the warden, would take them not aside, not into the restroom, but right there. Whip them till the fire alarm went off. Of course, nowadays you probably go to jail for that. But they never did that again, amen? Now some parents just drag that kid along with them. They're going where they're going to go, amen? Listen, you can't get rid of God. God has you. He reached down into the miry clay and picked you out. God has a hold of you. Therefore, He is able to keep you. Amen? And fifth but not last, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. Now think about that. You are saved. Your heart is infected with life. Jesus Christ comes to indwell you. Other passages in Scripture says that that God has spiritual giftedness for you, and the Holy Spirit brings those gifts, packs them in, and then seals it all up. Now you think you can break that seal? Do you think you can break the seal of Holy God? Please say amen, church. Amen. You cannot. You simply cannot do it. Listen, guys. You might be disobedient. You might get into heaven with a smoking shirt tail. But you're going to heaven. Why? Because you are the redeemed of God. Amen. Amen. So we saw the supreme wisdom of God. We saw the sovereign will of God. Now, we see the seeking Word of God. The word here was in verse 30. Look at verse 30. If there, please say amen. Amen. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. That word call is literally to issue a summons. You are issued a summons by God. God foreknows, because He knows everything, He foreknows whether you're going to receive Him or not. He then predestines you because He knows what you're going to do when you of your own free will receive Him. He then predestines for those of us that by faith receive Jesus Christ, and He predestines us to be look just like Christ. He predestines us to serve in our church. He predestines us to serve in the children's ministry. He predestines us to be conformed to His Son Jesus Christ and lead the church and the congregation in praise and worship. The spiritual gift comes and says, okay, this person has a human ability to sing. And so Jamie has the voice to sing, but the Holy Spirit brings a spiritual gift and packs it into her heart that says this, you're going to take that voice and it's going to be for the glory of God. And we're going to do great and mighty things through your worship. Not because you have a wonderful voice, because God has sent His Holy Spirit bearing gifts so that you can be indwelt by Christ and then sealed with that giftedness. You could no more take away Jamie's giftedness than I could get out there and pull a tank down the street with my teeth. It can't be done. Amen? So God predestines all that. So then God sends the gospel through His Word. So what is the call of God? Well, the call of God is not an emotional feeling that you get in church. The call of God comes through the gospel message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So today, people are here in this church. People are listening or watching on the internet or DVD. And here's how this works. I want you to pay close attention here. This is how this works. I have an open Bible. You have an open Bible. The words have been on the screen. If you're watching on the internet, you've seen the words on your screen. I have an open Bible, and God has called me as the preacher to preach. He's called the praise team to sing. He's called the audio team and the lighting team to do the things that they do. He's foreknown the greeters to be a smiling face when you walk in here. God has ordained those things. God has then filled me with the Holy Spirit. And He has given me His Word to preach. God brought me here to preach. For many years I thought the Lord was preparing me to go somewhere. So I was praying, Lord, open some doors. Slam, right in my face. And so the Lord kept me in this church. He has ordained me to preach His Word here. God has filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's given me His Word to preach. He brought me here to preach. And God brought you here to hear it. God brought you here. It's not me, it's Him. Amen. God brought you here to listen. Now listen closely. God is calling you through His gospel message. And this is terribly, terribly important. One of these days, God is going to hold every one of us accountable for what you've heard today. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You have just heard that. And if you are unsaved, if you are unredeemed of God, one day He will hold you accountable for what you just heard. For you to get to heaven, you must repent of your sins. You must receive Jesus Christ as Lord because He is the only way. This message is a call from God. It's not a call from Larry Brister. It's not a call from the Baptist denomination. It's not a call from Living Hope Church. It's not a call from our praise team and our greeters. This is a call from Almighty God that through the gospel of Jesus Christ says, repent of your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's going to hold you accountable for that because you just heard it. Well, Pastor, some people only heard it once. Okay. I didn't make the rules. How many sins did Adam and Eve have to get thrown out of the Garden of Eden? One. One is enough when it comes to God. Amen? So we saw the supreme wisdom of God, the sovereign will of God, the seeking word of God, and now we see the saving work of God. Friends, verse 30. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Justification is more than just pardon. It is, wait for it, a promotion. It's a promotion. God does far more than forgive our sins when we receive Christ. He doesn't just acquit us of the crime. We aren't just pardoned. God makes us righteous in His sight. You are righteous. You are in right standing with the Lord. God and only God can do that. Only God can do that. Justification is the saving work of God. And God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in every single one of His blood-bought children. Amen? Hallelujah. That's wonderful news. Amen? Give God some glory in here. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. Now, I could preach another 6 hours on justification, and I'm not kidding about that one bit. I could preach years on justification. But there are three words I want to share quickly. You can write these in the margin if you still have room. First, justice. Justice would be God giving us what we deserve. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 6, 23 reads this way, "For the wages of sin are death." Justice would be God giving us exactly what we deserve. The second word is mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. What do we deserve? Again, death. Ephesians, listen, we were headed for hell before Jesus Christ came into our lives. Amen? Amen? That is exactly where we were headed. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, reads like this, But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see, friends, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. But grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Imagine one of your disobedient children fat-mouthing you. Back in my day, we call it fat-mouthing. Being disobedient, mouthing off to you, breaking stuff in the living room, being disobedient all week long, just like that. And at the end of the week, he says, "I'm sorry." And say, "Okay, let's go to Disneyland." And the mother say, "Not." That's what God does when He shows us grace. Amen? That is the saving work of God. So first we saw the supreme wisdom of God, then the sovereign will of God, then the seeking word of God, then the saving work of God. Now we see the settled ways of God. Do not miss this. God doesn't say He will glorify us. Verse 30, He says, "Them He also glorified." That is in the past tense. It's already done. It is settled in the heart and mind of God. If you've received Jesus Christ, you have been made righteous. Grace has been given. Mercy has been extended. You are justified and righteous in His sight, and you have already been glorified before the throne of God. Isn't that amazing news? Now look up here and look closely. You're looking at a man who is already glorified in God's heart, in God's mind, and in God's way, because God deals in eternity. God sees the future, and right now, in the future, God sees Larry Brister and He sees him glorified in heaven, and He sees me like Jesus Christ. Now just substitute your own name for that. Do you understand how valuable you are? Do you understand what you have in the riches of God? Do you understand that you are the redeemed of God, that you are royalty, that royal blood flows through your veins? And when you walk out these doors and you read that sign saying you are now entering your mission field and you declare the name of Jesus Christ out there, every demon in Broward County trembles and flees. because you are the glorified of God. No matter what happens, God says, there she is, Miss Shirley. There he is, she is, Miss Doreen. There he is, Brother G.B. There they are, glorified, sitting in the kingdom. I have predestined, I have foreknown that they're going to be like Jesus, and hell can't stop it. Amen. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Amen. And friends, if you have ever received Jesus Christ, that is you as well. But you have, if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, you need to take care of that today. Now, in just a moment, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper. We're going to have an invitation song in just a moment. During the invitation song, I want the redeemed of God first to clear your heart out so you can take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. But I also want the redeemed of God, once you've taken care of that, lift up your neighbors in prayer. Lift up your spouses in prayer if they're not saved. Lift up your family, your friends, your co-workers. The person that cut you off on 95 driving here this morning. Lift them up in prayer. Good prayer. That they would be the redeemed of God. But here's the secret. For those of you that need to receive Jesus Christ, God will not force your decision. You must make this decision. It's a personal decision. You must make it of your own free will. I wish I could do it for you. I wish I could come down there, sit there next to you or wherever you are, whether you're here or on the internet, and I wish I said, yep, I'm going to receive Jesus for Bob sitting here. And walk the aisle for you. But that's not how it works. I wish that I could preach and give your heart to Christ. I can't do that. That's not my place. That's your place. God has given you an incredible gift, and it's your free will to decide. Listen, I'm not trying to be arrogant at all, but I've soaked this message in prayer. I've preached it from the Word of God. And I know that the moment has now come. Because God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is calling you to Himself today. He's calling you today. He's calling you through the preaching of the gospel. He's calling you through the prayers of His people. And I can guarantee this. One day, a million years from now, you will be in one of two places. And when you're in that place, you're going to look back on this moment right now. And you're going to look back with great joy because you received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Or you're going to look back with the deepest regret imaginable because you said no. You walked out of here, you got in your car. You left your home on the internet. You got in the car and you went to drive somewhere and you were hit. Or you had a heart attack and time was up. Don't let this moment pass. Because the only way to look back in joy is if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And all God's people said.
Amen.
I end today's message as I end a message every single week saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.